101.9 WDET in Detroit today. I'm not Stephen Henderson. I'm Nick Austin filling in for Stephen Henderson as we get into the money that makes everything here in Michigan happen. The legislature right now is running a surplus with a lot of extra cash. Due to federal spending, Michigan has about $9 billion in its coffers. And Democrats in the majority have been hashing out how exactly to spend this money. To talk about where the priorities are and when this latest budget is intended to be signed, we have Jonathan Osteen here with us. Jonathan is a reporter with Bridge, Michigan, covering the Capitol. Jonathan, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here because, you know, a lot of people talk about budgets all the time, but I mean, many of us, I don't even know if we understand exactly how state budgets work. So just to start off, can you tell folks, listeners, how often budgets are decided and what this process is like?
Yeah, sure. So there's a couple things going on in Lansing right now. There is an annual budget process, and that really has not yet commenced for the upcoming year. But it's just, you know, talks are just getting started. The governor is probably going to lay out her fiscal year 2024 budget, so for the next fiscal year, in February. So in the next couple weeks here, she'll lay out kind of her roadmap. But in the meantime, there's also these what we call supplemental spending bills that come up over the course of a year, you know, for various reasons. Maybe the state got some extra federal money and has to allocate it. Or maybe, as is the case right now, it's got a $9 billion surplus and has a couple lawmakers have a couple things they want to fund. So what we saw happen last week, and in fact, just this morning, Governor Whitmer was signing, was a $1.1 billion supplemental spending bill that will draw down some of that $9 billion surplus, but not all of it. A lot of that's going to remain on the books for continued talks about spending or tax cuts is another big thing that lawmakers are talking about right now.
You know, just because you have the money doesn't mean you should be spending the money. Is there any discussion on the needs? Is it necessary right now to be drawing down that money? Is that something that we should be doing, saving it for a rainy day? What are the discussions when it comes to how to prioritize that extra cash?
Well, you know, the state actually has been building up its rainy day fund in recent years. So in addition to this surplus, it has another account that, you know, is colloquially called the rainy day fund. And that's got a pretty healthy amount right now. So, you know, this is money that certainly can be spent or save to pay for tax relief and things like that. The question is, you know, how do you design, you know, a budget or so a spending plan or tax cuts to, you know, because some of those items might have a, you know, perpetual income on the state budget, right? So you cut income taxes, that's going to be every year. The $9 billion surplus that we're talking about right now is one-time money, right? You spend that, it's gone. There's no guarantee the state is going to continue pulling in these big revenue numbers, especially with, you know, the looming threat of a mild recession, it seems, you know, is possible right now. So, you know, policymakers have to kind of do this in a, you know, seemingly fiscally responsible way, right? You can pay for some things that might be in perpetuity, but most of that $9 billion, you know, will probably be spent on more one-time projects. So that $1.1 billion spending bill that I just talked about that the governor signed this morning, that's got some money, for instance, for, you know, sort of one-time business incentives. There's a paper mill company up in Escanaba in the UP that wants to basically modernize its facility to make cardboard instead of just paper, and the state is giving them $200 million to do that. So that's one-time money to help this company, you know, retool their factory and retain jobs in the region. But, you know, the tax cut discussion, which is a separate discussion, that has longer-term impacts. I mean, even the Democrats are talking about not necessarily broad income tax cuts, but pension tax relief or earned income tax credit. But those too would be in perpetuity. Those would be every year money coming off the books. So, you know, it's kind of a delicate balance, a dance. But also lawmakers are looking to do some stuff that probably get them some nice headlines too. So yeah. Sometimes that trumps the need for fiscal responsibility. We'll see what happens.
Oh, Jonathan, you've opened up so many topic areas that I want to dive into, but we'll just start here. I hear the old adage of show me the budget and I'll tell you what the legislators priorities are, something to that effect. What do we know about where the spending is in the latest budget, and what are those priorities we see in it?
Yeah, so like I said, we'll know a lot more in the coming weeks when the governor lays out her sort of roadmap for the next fiscal year.
Sure.
I think that's where you're going to see a lot of the big things she's been talking about. For instance, in her State of the State address last week, those were proposals. Now, in the coming weeks, we're going to see the details about how she plans to fund those. So, for instance, she is calling for a phase-in, a four-year phase-in of a universal pre-K system. The state already has a fairly expensive state-funded preschool system. How much is the governor talking about increasing that funding? So how soon will the state start transitioning towards a universal system? And by universal, I mean free preschool for any family, regardless of income. Currently, the state has an income cap of roughly 250% of the federal poverty level for free preschool. The governor wants to expand that to everybody in the state. So we'll see those details. But, you know, in the current spending bill that the governor signed this morning, $1.1 billion, so pretty big bill in its own right, a lot of it is spending down some federal money that was still on the books from like COVID relief funding. So there's a bunch of money for blight elimination, $50 million for a program designed to help local communities get low-income housing projects off the ground. So, you know, these are things Democrats talk about a lot, and we're seeing them spend this money. Granted, it's easier when it's federal money, right?
Right.
That's money that's sent to the state for oftentimes very specific purposes, and it's more of a pass-through approach. So in terms of state money, we're seeing the governor sign this bill that has, like I mentioned, money for one business up in the UP, but also another $150 million for what she calls the SOAR Fund. It's the Strategic Outreach Fund that is designed to sort of help lure businesses to the state. So the governor certainly is trying to, stimulate economic projects as well and avoid that potential recession that we talked about.
We're speaking with Jonathan Osteen, a reporter covering the Capitol for Bridge, Michigan, the Lansing state capital, to be specific. And one of the things that you mentioned while we were talking was a potential for tax relief. Where are we at right now in Lansing in terms of the earned income tax credit as well as the pension tax and the discussion of repealing that?
Yeah, Democrats are really close to sort of, making that a done deal. Last week, both the House and the Senate approved separate versions of earned income tax credit expansion and pension tax repeal. This week, they're expected to sort of, address any differences that they might have had between their two respective packages and potentially get that legislation to the governor, by the end of this week for signature in the next, couple weeks or so on. So I think they're quite close there. There's a couple differences between the House version and the Senate version. So the Senate, for instance, took some steps to really try and speed up these tax cuts. So the earned income tax credit would apply retroactively to the current year. So, the next time you're filing your taxes, you'd be able to potentially claim an expanded credit if you are a lower income worker. And for the pension tax repeal, legally the way they had to do it was apply to the next tax season, but the Senate sped up again their plan to phase that out. Initially they had proposed 4-year phase out, but now they're saying as soon as we can, which would be the next tax year. So the House didn't quite take as dramatic of steps there, so they have to sort of iron out those details. But, you know, combined, we're looking somewhere, you know, between $800 million and $1 billion in tax relief between those two, you know, sort of targeted programs. And then more broadly, there's this looming issue of a potential income tax cut for all earners in the state as part of a 2015 road funding deal. You might remember that then Governor Rick Snyder signed. The state increased registration fees and fuel taxes, but Republicans built in a mechanism into that law that if state revenues grow by a certain amount each year, it could automatically trigger an income tax cut. And we have seen state revenues grow. So the state hasn't like closed its books, like, you know, done its final accounting to determine whether that income tax trigger is actually going to be pulled. But it's a realistic possibility. So there could be even more tax relief coming down the line later this year.
Well, do we know how Democrats in Lansing plan to respond to that? Is that something they'd want to get in the way of, or have they just kind of not discussed it, or have they signaled that they'd be looking to repeal that?
Well, I think it's a really delicate issue.
Yes, right? It is.
You know, Governor Whitmer has not historically favored broad income tax cuts as her preferred method of tax relief. So Democrats, you know, what they're doing proactively here is these targeted tax relief programs. The governor last year vetoed a couple GOP packages that would have cut income taxes. Generally, Democrats, you know, shy away from that because, you know, while everyone would benefit from an income tax rate reduction, it would benefit on a dollar-by-dollar basis the wealthiest residents in the state, right? If everybody gets a percentage off, folks who are making $1 million a year are going to see more savings by the dollar compared to folks who are making $30,000 a year. So it's not their preferred method. And but they also, you know, recognize the political implications of blocking an income tax rollback might not look great for them. So, you know, they're sort of taking a wait and see approach. They've said publicly, at least the House Appropriations Chair has, that they don't have plans to block that income tax rollback, but we'll see.
All right. Well, Jonathan Oesting, I always benefit from speaking with you about Michigan politics. Thanks so much for joining us on Detroit Today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. Tune in tomorrow when we unpack what is happening in Michigan in terms of a new documentary exploring human trafficking and how big the issue is here at the state level. Tune in tomorrow. We'll get into that and your calls on Detroit Today.